I think that usually we don't do this on Sunday, but I will do it. And I will read the translation of this song. Usually we just sing it, but I prefer to read a translation. And since there is no translation, there is a short purport by Srila Prabhupada, so I will just read it out. This song is it's very important. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta, Swami Srila Prabhupada. This is a song composed by Narottam Das Thakur. He prays to Lord Chaitanya, "My dear Lord, please be merciful to me, because who can be more merciful than your lordship within these three worlds?" Actually, this is a fact. Not only Narottam Das Thakur, but Rupa Goswami also prayed to Lord Chaitanya in this way. At the time of the first meeting of Lord Chaitanya and Rupa Goswami at Prayag, Sri Rupa Goswami said, "My dear Lord, you are the most munificent of all incarnations because you are distributing love of Krishna, Krishna consciousness." When Krishna was personally present, he simply asked us to surrender, but he did not distribute himself so easily. He made conditions. First of all, you surrender. But this incarnation, Lord Chaitanya, although Krishna himself makes no such condition, he simply distributes, take love of Krishna. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya is approved as the most munificent incarnation. Narottam Das Thakur says, "Please be merciful to me. You are so magnanimous because you have seen the fallen souls of this age and you are very much compassionate to them. But you should know also that I am the most fallen. No one is more greatly fallen than me. Patita pavana hetu tava avatara. Your incarnation is just to reclaim the conditioned fallen souls. But I assure you that you will not find a greater fallen soul than me. Therefore, my claim is first." Then he prays to Lord Nityananda. He says, "Haha, Prabhu Nityananda, Premananda Sukhi, my dear Lord Nityananda, you are always joyful in spiritual bliss. Since you always appear very happy, I have come to you because I am most unhappy. If you kindly put your glance over me, I may also become happy." Then he prays to Advaita Prabhu, "Doya Kora Sita Pati Advaita Goshai." Advaita Prabhu's wife's name was Sita. Therefore, he is sometimes addressed as Sita Pati. Thus Narottam Das Thakur prays, "My dear Advaita Prabhu, husband of Sita, you are so kind. Please be kind to me. If you are kind to me, naturally Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda will also be kind to me." Actually, Advaita Prabhu invited Lord Chaitanya to come down. When Advaita Prabhu saw that the fallen souls were all engaged simply in sense gratificatory processes, not understanding Krishna consciousness, he felt very much compassionate toward the fallen souls, and he also felt himself incapable of claiming all of them. He therefore prayed to Lord Krishna, "Please, come yourself. Without your personal presence, it is not possible to deliver these fallen souls." Thus, his invitation, Lord Chaitanya appeared. Naturally, Narottam Das Thakur prays to Advaita Prabhu, "If you will be kind to me, naturally Lord Chaitanya Nityananda also will be kind to me." Then he prays to the Goswamis, "Haha, Swarup Sanatan, Rupa Raghunath." Swarup refers to Swarup Damodar, the personal secretary of Lord Chaitanya. He was always with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and immediately arranged for whatever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted. Two personal attendants, Swarup Damodar and Narottam Das Thakur, Two personal attendants, Swarup Damodar and Govinda, were always constantly with Lord Chaitanya. Therefore, Narottam Das Thakur also prays to Swarup Damodar and then to the six Goswamis, the next disciples of Lord Chaitanya, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sri Bhatta Raghunath Goswami, Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Raghunath Das Goswami. These six Goswamis were directly instructed by Lord Chaitanya to spread this movement of Krishna consciousness. Narottam Das Thakur also prays for their mercy. After the six Goswamis, the next Acharya was Srinivas Acharya. Actually, Narottam Das Thakur was in the disciplic succession after Srinivas Acharya and was almost his contemporary. And Narottam Das' personal friend was Ramachandra Chakravarti. Therefore, he prays, "I always desire the company of Ramachandra." He desires devotees' company. The whole process is that we should always pray for the mercy of the superior Acharyas and keep company with pure devotees. Then it will be easier for us to advance in Krishna consciousness and receive the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna. This is the sum and substance of this song sung by Narottam Das Thakur. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Okay, dear devotees, today we're reading the 20th chapter of Madhya Lila, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's Lord Chaitanya instructs Sanatana Goswami. It's a very famous chapter. We're today reading verses 131 until 35. It's a few verses, and then the last one has a purport, so that's why it's a few verses. So on the board is the first verse, 131. So we can chant that verse, and then later I will read the translations of all of them.
Bhapera dhana che gyane dhana na hipaya. Bhapera dhana che gyane dhana na hipaya. Tabe sarva gya kahe tare praptrapaya. Tarve sarva gya kahe tare praptiraupaya. Bhapera dhane ache gyane dhana nahi paya. Tabe sarva gya kahe tare praptiraupaya. Aperatane a chikandana hipaya. Tambe sarva gya kahe tare prapti rupaya.
Bapera dhana ache, please repeat. The father has some treasure.
Gyane,
by this knowledge,
dhana,
treasure,
nahipaya,
one does not get,
tabe,
then,
sarvagya,
the astrologer,
kahe,
says,
tare,
unto the poor man,
praptira upaya,
the means of getting the treasure. Okay, so the translation follows. Although being assured of his father's treasure, The poor man cannot acquire this treasure by such knowledge alone. Therefore, the astrologer had to inform him of the means whereby he could actually find the treasure. Now I'll read the following verses. The astrologer said, "The treasure is in this place, but if you dig towards the southern side, the wasps and drones will rise, and you will not get your treasure. If you dig on the western side, there is a ghost who will create such a disturbance that your hands will not even touch the treasure. If you dig on the northern side, there is a big black snake that will devour you if you attempt to dig up the treasure. However, if you dig up a small quantity of dirt on the eastern side, your hands will immediately touch the pot of treasure." Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Please pay attention to the purport. That is the most important part, and this is quite a significant purport by Srila Prabhupada. I will read it a little bit slower. The Vedic literatures, including the Puranas, state that according to the position of the conditioned soul, there are different processes: Karmakanda, Jnanakanda, the yogic process, and the Bhakti Yoga process. Karmakanda is compared to wasps and drones that will simply bite if one takes shelter of them. Jnanakanda, the speculative process, is simply like a ghost who creates mental disturbances. Yoga, the mystic process, is compared to a black snake that devours people by the impersonal cultivation of Kaivalya. However, if one takes to Bhakti Yoga, he becomes quickly successful. In other words, through Bhakti Yoga, one's hands touch the hidden treasure without difficulty. The goal of all revealed scriptures and Vedic injunctions is Krishna, as he himself says in the Bhagavad Gita, "Vedascha sarvaham eva vedya." Since the Vedas enjoin one to search out Krishna and take shelter at his lotus feet, and since no Vedic process but devotional service will enable one to do so, to do this, one has to take to devotional service. According to the Bhagavad Gita, only the bhakti process is said to be definitive. Bhakti mam abhijanati. This is the conclusive statement of the Vedas, and one has to accept this process if one is serious in searching for Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this connection, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives the following statement. The eastern side represents devotional service to Lord Krishna. The southern side represents the process of fruitive activity, Karmakanda, which ends in material gain. The western side represents Jnanakanda, the process of mental speculation, sometimes called Siddhikanda. The northern side represents the speculative method, sometimes known as the mystic yoga system. It is only the eastern side, devotional service, that enables one to attain life's real goal. On the southern side, there are fruitive activities by which one is subject to the punishment of Yamaraj. When one follows the system of fruitive activity, his material desires remain prominent. When one follows the system of fruitive activity, his material desires remain prominent. Consequently, the results of this process are compared to wasps and drones. The living entity is bitten by the wasps and drones of fruitive activity and thus suffers in material existence, birth after birth. One cannot become free from material desires by following this process. The propensity for material enjoyment never ends. The propensity for material enjoyment never ends. Therefore, the cycle of birth and death continues, and the spirit soul suffers perpetually. The mystic yoga process is compared to a black snake that devours the living entity and injects him with poison. The ultimate goal of the yoga system is to become one with the Absolute. This means finishing one's personal existence. But the spiritual part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead has an internal individual existence. The Bhagavad Gita confirms that the individual soul existed in the past, is existing in the present, and will continue to exist as individual in the future. Artificially trying to become one with the Absolute is suicidal. One cannot annihilate his natural condition. A yaksha, a protector of riches, will not allow anyone to take away riches for enjoyment. Such a demon will simply create disturbances. In other words, a devotee will not depend on his material resources, but on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can give real protection. This is called Rakshishyatiti Vishvasa, or in the Bengali poetry of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Sharanagati, Avashya Rakshibe Krishna Vishvasa Palana. The surrendered soul must accept the fact that his real protector is Krishna, not his material acquisitions. Considering all these points, devotional service to Krishna is the real treasure house for the living entity. When one comes to the platform of devotional service, he always remains opulent in the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who is bereft of devotional service is swallowed by the black snake of the yoga system and bitten by the wasps and drones of fruitive activity, and he suffers consequent material miseries. Sometimes the living entity is misled into trying to merge into spiritual existence, thinking himself as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This means that when he comes to the spiritual platform, he will be disturbed and will again return to the material platform. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, Yenyera Vindaksha Vimukta Manisa Dvayashta Bhava Davishuda Bhudaya Aruda Kritrena Parampada Tata Padantya Dion Adrita Yushumad Angraya. Since such people may become sannyasis, but unless they take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, they will return to the material platform to perform philanthropic activities. In this way, one's spiritual life is lost. This is to be understood as being devoured by the black snake. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Hena Tasme Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manabhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sahadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Dear devotees, thank you for coming and allowing me to speak about these wonderful transcendental subjects. I'd like to beg permission and blessings from all the senior devotees and all devotees here in order to speak something for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada, their lordships and the devotees. Please, without the blessings of devotees, nothing is possible. So, if you wish to hear something beneficial, then please cast your merciful glance upon me. I will attempt to speak a little bit about the topic discussed in this verse. I don't know if they hear. Jai Bhadra Mataji always tells me, put the microphone front, because in the kitchen we can't hear you. today's verse is continuation of an analogy that was started some time ago, and it speaks about the position of every living entity in this universe. And it speaks about the unfortunate position of one who thinks that is that he is bereft of all good fortune when he is in the most fortunate position. Actually, every living entity is in the most fortunate position because every living entity has eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord. But due to ignorance and so much time spent in material environment, one forgets this. So the point of the previous verse is just to shortly give introduction or summarize was that the Vedic scriptures are there to just as an astrologer it's a comparison just as an astrologer can come to a poor man and tell him, oh no, actually looking at the chart he can say, oh no, actually you have great riches, your father was very rich and you have a treasure which is hidden in this place, so you are actually very rich, you just don't know it. So in the same way the Vedic scriptures are giving us instructions how to reach the goal of life and how to become happy, because happiness is actually the natural state of the soul, the natural position of the soul. Sri Aurobindo Prabhupada explains this, that happiness is the natural position of the soul. So everybody is searching for this happiness, and sometimes, especially as Kali Yuga progresses, we have a personal experience that people actually have in many places already kind of given up on this idea already that they can be happy. People have become, it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, is predicted that in Kali Yuga, amongst all the, so to say, external symptoms, long hair, short living span, things like that, it's predicted that the most common disease will be mental diseases. So this means that one gives up on the idea that he can actually be happy. Of course, people happiness is majorly misunderstood as a material thing. That is a different topic, but the point is that everybody is looking for it, and the Vedic injunctions give instructions how to get to this happiness. So they are compared to this astrologer. So this was the comparison from the previous verses, and in this verse, more subtle point is explained, and. Actually, this is, as we know, this is part of the Sanatana Shiksha. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is such an important book for all of us. I have heard from Kadambakana Swami that was such a great thing. He was saying how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai, that if one is on somehow or other, there is some misfortunate earthquake or something, a flood, so one is on a boat and one has to take just a few of his possessions. So he said, if you have to do that, then what you need to take is Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and hold on to it. That's the most important thing. If you have to relinquish everything else, but never leave these three. And then he was saying, this is just a fictional situation. But he said, if it happens so that the boat is still sinking and you have to reject one of these books, he said, you should never reject any of them. But if the boat is sinking and you have to, then you should first throw out the Bhagavad Gita. And then he said, and the boat is still sinking and you have to still throw out something, he said, you should throw out Srimad Bhagavatam. He said, but you should never throw out Chaitanya Charitamrita, even if you have to throw out your own self in the water. So this is not a point to diminish the glories of Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, because we know that these scriptures are one. Because Chaitanya Charitamrita is Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita spoken and lived. So we know that these scriptures are one, and Chaitanya Charitamrita constantly quotes these scriptures. But his point was that Chaitanya Charitamrita is so much a life and soul of the devotees. And we can see that Srila Prabhupada, when he was traveling to, when he was on Jaladuta in his diary, he was speaking how he's so far away from Vrindavan, and he was feeling so much separation. It was so hard for him to take this journey, but at the same time he will say the only solace that I have is reading this Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Chaitanya Charitamrita is so glorious because because it explains how devotional service is actually to be practiced. And yes, speaking this, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, different concepts are described. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have wrote only 8 verses that we know of. He actually wrote a grammar book, but he threw it in the Ganges. So, because his other associate wrote a grammar book, so when he saw that, he said, okay, you wrote, then I throw mine in the Ganges. So, but anyway, he left these 8 verses, and these 8 verses are core, are the heart of our philosophy and practice. But actually, Chaitanya Charitamrita is the whole book that describes the words of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it's such a treasure that we actually have different discussions and words of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how do you call that, memorized or kept preserved in this book. So, and I'll take liberty to say that all the books that the previous acharyas like Srila Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Jiva Goswami, and further on have written have their seed concepts in Chaitanya Charitamrita, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like, this is Sanatan Shiksha, so these are the instructions that he gave to Sanatan Goswami, and before that was Rupa Shiksha, the instructions that he gave to Rupa Goswami, and all the books that these acharyas wrote, their whole lives were based on these teachings. So we have a book in which these teachings are directly, like, given, so that is obviously to be considered very important, what is written. It's like an essence, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was explaining, he said, like he was saying to Rupa Goswami, for example, in relation to Nectar of Devotion, he said, I have given you the basis, now you expand it, now you explain it. But here we have the seeds. So this story is part of Sanatana Shiksha and explains this situation. And as we read, Srila Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explain what are these dangers in approaching the spiritual treasure. And they explain that these dangers are actually karma, jnana, and yoga. And this is interesting because Bhagavad Gita deals with the same topics in the first 6 chapters before it proceeds to further and more elaborate explanations of devotional service itself. Bhagavad Gita deals first with karma, jnana, and ashtanga yoga. And the Vedic scriptures are majorly divided into the jnana section and the karma section. And it's interesting because it's explained that this is very dangerous. And Srila Prabhupada explains, also says, that this is given because souls are on a different level. So that means that souls will not be naturally immediately attracted by devotional service, by descriptions of devotional service. So these motivated, so to say, motivated actions must be there, because people are quite motivated. And why is it described that actually Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu says that devotional service can never come to the heart of one who has desire for karma and jnana, and karma and jnana are compared to ghosts and witches in Nectar of Devotion. So the real question is, why are these processes so much, in one sense, criticized, or in other sense, why are they so much exposed by our acharyas? And why is Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita warning us about how if we go for our treasure and we take sideways, in a sense of taking these other 3 directions, why can we not attain our treasure? So it is explained by different scriptures that the essential thing that bonds us to the material world is ahankar, the false ego, the tendency to control and to enjoy, and the tendency to see things in terms of I and mine. So, actually, all actions that are materially motivated can fall into these 2 groups, karma and jnana, and it can fall into these 2 groups of I and mine. So the karma represents mine, in karma one will strive to achieve something that one can enjoy. So karma also represents, you know, there are two principles. One is controlling and the other one is enjoying. So the enjoying principle is represented by karma and is represented by this mind, aham mameti. So karma is mameti. It means I acquire things that I can enjoy. I labor hard to get a fruit that I can enjoy. So this is one thing that is rejected because it's so obviously selfish, and not only that it is selfish, but the thing is that as Srila Prabhupada explains, material desires are just nourished by this process. The material desires just flourish and flourish and flourish, as Sri Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that by adding fire into, by adding oil into fire, it just gets worse and worse. So it doesn't get better. So of course, later I will explain what is the idea of this whole process and so why would Vedic scriptures recommend something like this. As far as jnana is considered, jnana represents the principle of I. Because in jnana one is more, or in the process of speculative knowledge, and acquiring knowledge devoid of devotional service, one is more concerned with realizing the self and later usually merging the self. And this represents the principle of I. And usually it's also represented by this idea to control. Because one first, in the material world, one naturally first tries to enjoy the material world. When one is frustrated in his repeated attempts to enjoy the material world, then one sees, okay, this place is not fit to be enjoyed and it is impossible to enjoy it because every time I try something, it seems attractive, but when I come to that place where I want it to be, there is so much trouble. And this trouble, it's a mechanism of the world, so we can't exactly escape it in any way. So when one, after repeated, vacharas say, lifetimes of being frustrated by not being able to really enjoy, one starts developing this kind of false detachment that one now starts inquiry and starts takes on the process of jnana. So the problem with the process of jnana here, it's interesting because it is said that yoga is concerned with kaivalya or merging into oneness with the Lord, but actually in many different places it's said that jnana also comes to the same conclusion. And we can see that yoga is partially, because sometimes things are put in three groups, in groups of three, and sometimes in groups of two. So the basic principle is karma and jnana. That's why Bhaktivedanta Sindhu says jnana, karmadi, anavritam. So adi means yoga and the other processes. Adi means and so on. So, but basically yoga can also fit into jnana. Because yogic process is like a combination of karma and jnana, because you still do certain activities, but majorly you're concerned with realizing the self, which is the similar kind of thing that the jnanis do. So it can be, if it has to be placed in one of the groups, it will be placed into jnana. So everything can be seen in this matter. I want to enjoy and I want to control. And this is karma and jnana. And as long as one is not fortunate enough to meet a devotee or to have or to meet the devotional scriptures, one cannot escape this circle. Because only by mercy of Lord we can actually escape, like we can get relief from these material concepts. So the Vedic scriptures obviously give this. It's explained that what is the reason of giving all of this, because these processes still have a chance to purify. I mean, still purify one, because while performing these processes, one has the chance to meet a devotee. Because if one is performing some karma, especially because in Kali Yuga, people even don't know anymore how to endure or how to speculate. Like people are completely devoid. I mean, devoid of any guidance in a sense how to do things properly. So, but before, if a karmi would perform a certain activity following the prescriptions in the Vedic scriptures, then he would inevitably have to meet priests all the time. And if as in his course of meeting priests, he would meet a priest who was a devotee, of the Lord. So then this priest would in one point, you know, place some kind of seed of faith or something that can invigorate the spiritual, the actual devotional service. And also in the process of Jnana, in due course of search, one can come to devotional scriptures. So the real question that comes to my mind whenever I think about both hearing and speaking is, how does all of this really relate to our lives in reality? I think that this is a very important question to ask. And I was thinking, this is a book that is Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. You know, even Srila Prabhupada, he made an introduction and he said, this is a book. I dedicate this book to my followers who asked me to translate this great scripture. So this is a book majorly, so to say, written for people who are already practicing. So the question is, why is this story there for us? Because we may think, oh, we're already in the process of devotional service, we are not concerned with jnana or karma. So, but the thing is that it's explained, as one progresses towards Krishna, the patterns of Maya become more and more subtle as one goes along. In the beginning, things are very rough. You know, anartha nivritti, you have to stop drinking and smoking. It's quite rough. But as one goes along, the anarthas that stay in the heart become more subtle and the tricks of Maya become more subtle. Because it's explained that when one seriously makes the lotus feet of Krishna his goal in life, the Maya very seriously takes all endeavor to pose all kinds of tests to this person. So the tests become more and more subtle. So we can see how these weeds of jnana and bhakti can actually crawl into devotional life of devotional or practitioners of devotional service. And that is what is separating us from pure devotional service. It's propensity to gain fruit in our activities and propensity to speculate and be knowledgeable separate from bhakti. So I was thinking, why would we even go, like, if there is such a simple process? Narottam Das Thakur says, I will never even look at the direction of jnana and karma. That's what he says in Prema Bhaktacharya. He says, I will never even look at that direction. So the question is, why do we, if it is said, you just dig a little on the eastern side, why do we have this desire to go and check out the western side and check out the northern side? There's often this idea that one goes and sees how it is in the world and things like that, because the instructions are quite clear. So why do we have a desire to, you know, go around and not go directly for pure devotional service? And the thing is that there are two reasons. One reason is because we don't have a genuine experience of what is it in the center, what's the treasure, what is the spiritual experience, what's the genuine relationship with Krishna, and how much the soul is nurtured and satisfied by this service. And the other thing that is that we still, because we have this, we still believe in happiness in material world. We still believe that if I try to get some fruit, if I try to enjoy, if I try to control, I will gain some happiness out of it. So these are the two things that that are bewildering us. So the real thing is that it is explained that as one in the most important process of devotional service that are described in Nectar of Devotion are to, the thing is that we have to somehow or other beg to get our eyes opened to actually see the real thing, because all of these little fruits that we can get in our material attempts are so insignificant compared to bhakti. But if one's eyes are closed, one cannot see that. So there is a need to get our eyes opened, and it's explained that in order to get that, the Om Agyanati Mirandasyam, my spiritual master has opened my darkened eyes. So one should beg, oh Krishna, please send me a spiritual master and let me assist him and open my arms for him to operate on me, or in other words, to purify me and to open my eyes so I could see these things. And so in in this sense that it's explained that after one accepts a spiritual master, one should allow spiritual master and inquire from him about the details of practice of devotional service. So this is what will actually enlighten the soul to see the real treasure. And when one can see things in proper perspective, one sees that he's just one of the many servants of the Lord, and one sees that one's real happiness is in giving pleasure to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and giving pleasure to other living entities. And this pleasure is a spiritual pleasure. Srila Prabhupada explains how everybody in this world are actually looking after love, but they don't know where to look for this love. This love is spiritual. So the thing is that there are two things. If we don't have it, we should try to get it. If we have it, we should try to share it. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have said, I have come to this world and I have planted a seed of devotional service. From this seed, a big tree came out. I became the trunk of that tree. From that tree, many branches came out. And the tree covered the whole universe. And he explains how he was the trunk. The two main branches were Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu. And further, all different associates, as they lined up, the tree covered the whole universe. And he says, the tree gave so many fruits of love of Godhead. The whole tree, and Srila Prabhupada explains, like a big tree has, like a big rich tree that is healthy, gives fruits all over its body, from all the branches, everywhere there is fruits, there were so many fruits. So he says, now I am the only gardener, I have all of these fruits, and I don't know what to do with them, I cannot distribute them all by myself. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is pleading for... He actually orders to all of his associates, he says, take these fruits, and this is what I take these fruits and distribute them along with me, because this was my point. Vedic scriptures will give us eyes, and our guru will help us really make these eyes functional. And if we don't have it, then we should get it. If we have it, then we should share it. And the vision of Srila Prabhupada was quite... He had the vision that this should go on simultaneously. Because Srila Prabhupada would engage even very, so to say, beginners, almost guests. You know, in today's, so to say, ISKCON society, the devotees that Srila Prabhupada would engage, we would maybe even consider guests. And he would immediately engage them. So Srila Prabhupada had this idea that these two processes of our own cultivation of devotional practice and us sharing the knowledge with others should go simultaneously. And so Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I order every man in this universe. So he comes and says, I order every man in this universe to distribute these fruits with me. He says, I'm the only gardener, how much can I distribute? If I only distribute, I'm sure that not everybody will get it, of course. He could do that, but he wanted to glorify his devotees and engage his devotees. So, and Srila Prabhupada explains, the special quality of Lord Chaitanya is that he wanted to see all people happy. He was so concerned to see all people happy. And I was thinking, you know, today I came and there was this wonderful kirtan here and everybody was jumping, everybody was enthused. And I was thinking, we really need to share this with other people. There is a genuine, it's explained that as a soul progresses on its, and as a soul is getting elevated, the compassion is the first symptom of spiritual progress. The compassion is something that is, it cannot be separated from development of the soul. Because as one gains real knowledge, one will see how much everybody, it is impossible for one to sit and be happy and everybody around him to be unhappy. So that's why sometimes they criticize Srila Prabhupada, because he was saying this material world is full of suffering, because he said, oh, I am happy, but what about others? How can you be happy if everybody around you are unhappy? So so that's why Srila Prabhupada said, this material world is full of suffering. You know, I didn't know what a drone is, so I had to go and see what a drone is. And I found out what a drone is. It's a male bee. And drones have so miserable lives, you wouldn't believe. Like, they're kicked off from the nest. They're basically, you know, the whole purpose of their life is just to, how to say, just to fertilize the king bee. And if they do that, their whole belly gets ripped apart and they die. it's such a miserable condition. So we can see all of these things all around us. So how can we say that there's no... People say, oh, why do you say everywhere is suffering? Because suffering is everywhere. And if you somehow or other manage to live in your small glass box, this is not the... Bhaktisiddhartha Swami explains how souls which are developed will always feel compassion. How this is a natural, and also it is described how love of Krishna, when one gains even a drop of relationship with Krishna, of exchange with Krishna, when this emotion turns toward others, it becomes compassion, because one sees what others are. One sees this is such a precious thing, and others are not having. So there is a natural move in the heart to give it to others. So it's explained that one is, and not only that, but by this one purchases Krishna. And Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita how such a servant is most dear to me, who shares this knowledge with others. Such a servant is most dear to me. And Srila Prabhupada actually speaks in the purpose how it is the duty of every serious member of Krishna consciousness movement to help distribute this knowledge. And so we can see if, like, through the whole Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, we can see this genuine cry of Srila Prabhupada for the suffering of conditioned souls. How he speaks about the misleading governments. How he speaks about the misleading mind. You know, it is so much, he says, people are so much suffering, they're opening factories. Factories cannot produce the main necessities. He speaks so much, for example, the first canto that he translated and wrote in the Radhamadhar Mandir in India is full of this concern for people. So there is this very strong and genuine empathy. People are suffering like anything. Before I started traveling and came and started spending more time in a temple, I was living outside, and you know, I was working, so I would. In my course of activities, you know, I would come after my job, I would buy a few things in a shop and I would go home. And just on this little trip, I could see for example, in the supermarket, people were like, you know, I was looking, there were like five people in front of me of the queue. And they were all, you know, all faces down, everybody, you know, very, like, people are suffering like anything. I was speaking with... Anyway, I don't know if this is a story for Vyasan, but in any case, since I was cutting hair, I was working with a lot of people, and I could see that all of them are suffering like anything. And people would tell me how everybody in the whole building where they live have some mental issue, or have some ghosts in the house, or have some. It's amazing how many how people are suffering like anything. So I could see at that point, I could see how everywhere around us people are suffering so much. And I was thinking today, I came to this kirtan, I was thinking, it is really our duty to share this ecstasy with others. We cannot, how can we, you know, come and stay here and have the Krishna consciousness all for ourselves? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu really wanted us to share it with others. So I will end up by reading something. I also wanted a little bit, just a little bit, to promote this book, because I've seen that devotees don't necessarily always know about it. So I'll read one poem of Srila Prabhupada. This book is called The Shower of Divine Compassion. It's collected poems of Srila Prabhupada. I already once spoke about it briefly. It was endeavor of some devotees over 10 years to collect all the poems, to retranslate them properly, and to compile them all in one place, because Srila Prabhupada didn't write these poems systematically, in a sense that he would sit every evening and translate for several hours. No, these poems came out as a natural, how to call that, outpouring of his heart. So they came out spontaneously here and there, and these devotees compiled them. So I want to, in this mood of compassion, I would like to read to you part of Srila Prabhupada's offering to his spiritual master. He wrote this song as an offering to his spiritual master. It's called Vaishishtya Ashtaka, and I will just read a few stanzas that he wrote, in which we can see where Srila Prabhupada's heart was, you know? Like, I really think that as one progresses, one sees, one comes closer to Lord Chaitanya, one sees where is the heart of Lord Chaitanya. How can I put my heart in the same line with that heart? And where is the heart of Srila Prabhupada? Where is the heart of my guru? One lady in Vrindavan, she told me, I don't know who is Lord Chaitanya. I don't have a relationship with Lord Chaitanya. I said, do you have a relationship with your guru? So Srila Prabhupada says, even now, O God brothers, you have returned here on the order of our spiritual master. Together we are absorbing, worshipping his divine grace on his annual Vyasa Puja day. But merely having a festival of flowers and fruits does not constitute worship. Those who serve the instructions of the spiritual master actually worship him. Okay, I'll just go 2 minutes overboard. There was one more thing that I wanted to say and I forgot. One more thing about compassion is that compassion or following the instructions of a guru is coming out, is arising out of separation. We can see how when Lord Krishna disappeared from this world, Arjuna was very much in pain. He was very much troubled by this separation. And the only solace that he could take was in instructions of his of Krishna, who was his spiritual master. And in one lecture, Vaisheshika Prabhu gave a lecture on the disappearance day of Srila Prabhupada, and he was explaining how this separation from spiritual master is so painful, and the only way to act, the only act that comes out of it is the actually that actually one takes this essence of the heart of spiritual master, which is the idea to share this knowledge with others, and on the strength of this love and separation, one goes out and distributes. So this is a very deep and esoteric topic. You know, sometimes preaching is seen as an external activity, but preaching, genuine preaching or sharing comes from the state of the heart that is completely open for Krishna and completely open for others. And when one's heart is opened, one is open for the suffering of others, so naturally compassion comes out. Okay, so let me just continue. So those who serve the instructions of the spiritual master actually worship him. In serving the spiritual master's instructions, the disciples are empowered by his transcendental sound vibration. O God brothers, please give up your false pride and return to this standard. You know, Bhagavatam, it says they tasted by Shukadev Goswami. But after Shukadev Goswami tasted it, Lord Chaitanya tasted it as well. After Lord Chaitanya tasted it, Gadadhar Pandit tasted it. After Gadadhar Pandit tasted it, Srinivas Acharya tasted it. After Srinivas Acharya tasted it. You know, this it's the whole line. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur tasted it. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati tasted it. Bhakti Srila Prabhupada tasted it. They all wrote something, some commentaries. And now we have this time bombs, you know, it's a time bomb. I don't know if you know who is Mula Prakriti. She made this little video how Bhagavatam is a time bomb and how she goes and distributes these time bombs to people, you know. So these are such empowered transcendental vibration. He says the disciples are empowered by his transcendental sound vibration. Once the greatly learned scholar Nozin, Dr. Kalidas Naga, openly challenged our master in a public assembly by saying that the graded mission of Kali Yuga is spreading like a plague all over the world. Why then is the vital message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu being kept locked up in a cage? Our spiritual master has commanded us to go out and preach. Let the neophytes remain inside the temples and simply ring the bells. Just open your eyes and see the tragedy that has arisen. Everyone has become a censor and given up preaching. All of us should unite in purpose and flood the lands with waves of Krishna conscious preaching. Look at the vision of Srila Prabhupada. Crossing oceans, covering the world, penetrating the universal shell. And then he says, the Vaishnavas are famous as Paradukaduki, for they feel great pain to witness anyone suffering. This renown can be justified only as they increase their preaching. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told his followers, one must act for the benefit of all living entities. For a devotee, this work is the storehouse of happiness in the present life and in the next. This preaching work of the Lord has been entrusted to you, O God brothers, so please, together, in a unified endeavor, see that it is done according to the Lord's desire. As Vasudev Dat said to Lord Chaitanya, after first bowing down before him, please deliver all the living entities from the whole material world. Just give all their sins and sufferings to me, who am the most fallen. In this way, you may relieve all the distress of the miserable conditioned souls. Vasudev Dat was indeed the best of Vaishnavas, being sad to see the suffering of others. He knew that there is no real happiness to be found in his own sense gratification. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I am the property of Vasudev Dat. It's explained that bhakti is Krishna Karshini, it can purchase Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I am property of Vasudev Datta. Wherever he gives me, I'm given. Wherever he sells me, I'm sold. If one in any way gains favor of Vasudev Datta, I'm his man. So in that much he pleased Lord Chaitanya. The mercy shown by the Vaishnavas is scientific and authorized. Without the Vaishnavas' mercy in this world, the illusory energy is insurmountable. And the last verse says, whatever independence we may have, now may it be cast into the waters. The most fallen Abhay submits this humble offering today. So, thank you very much. I'm sorry that I went a little bit overboard. I just wanted to read this poem to you. And if there are any comments, questions, corrections, please. I mean, Srila Prabhupada gave so many opposing statements, so it's, we have to... Yeah, I mean, there was something that you said in the beginning. Anyway, I can't remember. This was just a comment, so I don't necessarily need to. I mean, Srila Prabhupada did say that if a serious aspirant for bhakti must read Brihad Bhagavatamrita by Sanatana Goswami. So one has, like, there must be some maturity how to understand the opposing statements on the scriptures, because it's explained that Krishna is... that one of the qualities of Krishna is that he can always, make peace between the contradictory things. It's explained like once Bhaktivedanta Purnaswami says, Krishna is the supreme chutney. He's spicy and sweet at the same time. So there are many contradictory statements, but that is why the guru is needed, because he can give a particular instruction for a particular person that is balanced. Because even when one reads all the books of Srila Prabhupada, there are many contradictory statements. So they're not misleading, but there might be, for example, there might be some arguments arousing. So that's why one needs to be careful, mature, and also take shelter of the spiritual master who can enlighten about a particular thing about devotional service. So that's what is explained in the Bhaktivedanta Sindar. After one accepts a spiritual master, he should inquire from him about details how to practice devotional service. For example, it's not a detail what you're saying, because we do have books that are the basis, but it's something that can create a discussion, and that is a matter that can be also discussed personally in a matter of personal practice with a spiritual master. Because it's simple for the simple, but for complicated, it's not it's complicated in a sense that one needs to, you know, if one has this propensity, then one needs to feed it in a proper way. Because some devotees, okay, I just read Bhagavad Gita, but then they read all kinds of nonsense, which don't have anything to do with devotional service. So if you have a propensity to read naturally, you're born like that, then you better read pure devotional scriptures. Yeah, exactly. But this is actually the Vedic concept, that one shouldn't read too much, because in one place actually Rupa Goswami says to read too much books can be an obstacle on the path of devotional service. So the Vedic concept is that if you do something, you do it properly. So that means that it's better to study 3 books deeply than to go over 50 books, how do you call that, on the surface only. So this is not recommended. This is not recommended. So you definitely have a strong point there, and it's backed up by the scriptures. Okay. Anything else? Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Bol.